Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our Facebook Live here at Music Town Detroit. And we are behind the mic with another guest, as I do every week, feature local artists, have them come into this studio. As you can see, we have couches and comfy chairs. It was just kind of like our living room atmosphere, and sit down and chat with local artists and have them sing some songs and perform and find out a little more about what they are all about. And my special guest for today's show is the one and only Thornetta Davis.
How you doing, Pam?
Good. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. There's, you know, so much to talk about, and, you know, you're basically an icon in the Metro Detroit area, so it was only natural that we had you in here. And, you know, of course, you did our grand opening for Music Town and performed. Boy, you just knocked everyone's socks off.
We had a ball that day, too.
That was fun. That was fun.
Detroit Live.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to have someone like you to do when we have a grand opening to open the party and get it going. So that was definitely whoever booked you for that was a smart move. So, yeah, it was a fun night, and, you know, with the full band and everything, and enjoyed that. So before I forget, though, all of this wouldn't be possible if we didn't have our sponsors. So a huge thank you to Michigan State University Community School of Detroit and Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. Thank you to our sponsors to let this all be happening every single week with my show and other things that go on here down at Music Town Detroit. So again, welcome, Thornetta Davis.
Thank you.
Gosh, there's so many things to talk about. First of all, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say age or anything like that, but you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, about 30 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. Who knew when I started out that it make a career out of it? I thought I was singing for fun.
For fun?
Yeah. And I started singing with a band called the Chisel Brothers to make a living, and been going strong ever since.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that, I remember reading that you actually started out at a talent contest when you were 15.
Yeah, when I was 15.
Yeah.
Because I just sang around the house, and my sister suggested that I enter a talent show that she was in a work program. A high school work program. She goes, "We're giving a talent show, and I think you'd be great."
Oh, okay.
And so she said they had a whole band, and all you got to do is bring your song. And so I said, "Oh, that sounds interesting." So I went, and then in the talent show, and I realized I want to be here a lot. I want to be on stage.
Oh, you were bitten.
You
by
know,
the bug.
Oh, I was bitten. And so any chance that I could get to perform on stage, I did it. You know, I ended up. At the talent show, I met a group of singers, and they called themselves Joss. And so that following year, and they were all grown in their 20s, they asked my mom, could I join their group? And so I ended up joining their group after I graduated high school. And we just did some local stuff, and that didn't do too much of anything else. But after that group disbanded, me and another girl who was in the group formed a group called Chanteuse. And we got two of the girls that was in high school with me to join, and and we did some stuff around town and recorded with certain people, you know. But nothing really came of it as far as making a living.
You were having fun, as you said.
I was just having fun. 50 bucks here and there, that kind of thing. And so I went to a jam session. There was a band called the Chisel Brothers. Mm-hmm. And they knew I could sing, so they called me up to jam with them. And then before you know it, the audience was like, "Let the girl sing." So
these guys are like, "What did we do?"
Oh, know. Eventually, I kept jamming. He goes, "Hey, we got a gig for you. Would you like to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah." It's okay. It's like this. The first gig they asked me to be on, we didn't really make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he told me, "I'll give you the 50 bucks now, or you can join the group and you end up with 20 or something like that." I was like,
"Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense."
Right. "Well, there'll be more gigs later." And I'm like, "Okay, we'll work it out." So
okay,
I joined the band that night, and I think we were together almost 10 years.
Well, that's a long time, yeah. So the $50 or, you know, it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost immediately I started getting written about in the newspapers. Mm-hmm.
And... Well, when you open your mouth and you start singing, you know, it's undeniably Thornetta, there you are. And I mean, it's powerful, yeah. Really powerful. So, yeah, I can see why that happened. Question, though, did you win the contest?
Oh, no. Oh. I actually lost to a little girl.
Oh.
She was Little Miss Michigan or something like that. Okay. She was twirling her baton. Oh. And you, I mean, dogs and kids, you can't win. So
yeah, hard to go against that.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah. She was so cute. And her recording kept messing up. And she was like mad at it. And so they gave it to her. I came in second, but whatever.
Well, you know, that might have been a good thing. If you would have won, it might have taken you a different path or something. You know,
yeah,
maybe,
you're right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So the baton twirler won. Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
And actually the group that Joss that I met, they're in the wings singing background. So they liked me so much. They're like, let's sing background for her. And they were competing against me. So, oh. And then that following year, that's when they asked me to join. So,
now you mentioned, you said sing your song in this contest. Mm-hmm. Did you write, were writing songs at that point?
No, I wasn't writing. At the time, I was really heavily into Phyllis Hyman. I started out just loving her and wanting to be her. So I did all Phyllis Hyman songs. Even when I joined the group, I sang all Phyllis. Like, look, you got to sing something else. You just can't be singing Phyllis Hyman. So that's when I was introduced to singing songs by the Pointer Sisters. Okay. And, you know, all the other influences, Gladys Knight and all that, when I was coming up. But as a teenager, I would run home and pop in my favorite Phyllis Hyman album and just sit there for hours and sing all of her stuff.
Okay.
You know.
So she was a big influence for you.
She was a very big influence on my singing.
And I'll admit, I'm not familiar with her music, so. Mm-hmm.
She was more... pop jazz at the time.
Okay.
You know, but a beautiful woman also.
Oh, I'm going to have to go check out. Yes. Yeah.
Her You Know How to Love Me album is a good one.
Okay. All right. I'll make a mental note there. I'll see what it's all about. And of course, you were doing the pop. You were a little more on the rock
R&B.
Side too. Yeah.
I was pop R&B when I first joined
the
Chisel Brothers. And they said, we don't do any R&B. And we do blues and soul music. And so I said, okay, that's my mama music. So I went back to
my mama's music.
It's my mama music. I went back in her record and said, Ma, you got to dig out some stuff for me.
Help me out here.
And she started pulling out all the stuff that I listened to as a child, mm-hmm. Old Aretha Franklin blues when she was singing blues, you know, not just the R&B that she's known for. Etta James, Betty Wright. Soul, you know, the R&B soul stuff. Yeah. And I started singing that Mr. Big stuff. And
so you were singing along with these on the records playing?
Well, I bring those records to the band. I said, what about these?
Okay.
And then that's when my repertoire started stretching out, you know. And then we started doing more blues stuff. My first blues song was Stormy Monday. Mm. And that was the only one I knew when I joined the Chisel Brothers. And they was like, you know, blues? I was like, Stormy Monday? So I kept singing that one every show, and then I have to just incorporate other stuff, and, you know, I started looking up other singers, Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey, and, you know. And
classics.
Yeah.
So did you actually have training, or did you just learn by singing along with their records?
I just learned by singing along with the record.
Mm, interesting.
Until I got in high school, and my high school teacher, Mr. Sipes, had... He put me in the vocal ensemble group, which was a group that I just dreamed of being in for 2 years. Mm-hmm. My ninth grade, I wanted to be in it, but I found out you had to audition, and I was too shy.
Oh, really?
So I just joined a girls' glee class. You could just take that class. And in 1 year, in my 11th grade, he walked around the room, and he pointed at me, you. Ooh. I want to see you later.
Oh. You scared?
I was terrified. I thought I did something wrong.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want you to join my vocal ensemble class.
Oh.
It was like a dream came true.
This was 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I had my whole 11th and 12th grade singing in vocal ensemble, and I got to sing lead in that too, you know.
He could have approached you a little differently.
Earlier.
Just to, you know.
But I guess that's the age where he starts,
picking
the classmates. But because we were all like more adult. You know, than the other grades.
The freshmen.
I noticed that when I joined. I'm like, oh, so it's like that when you get to be in 11th grade. That's what he swoops you up.
Okay. So. Well, he wanted to make sure you had some experience and all that. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, then he wanted me to be around all the time. I was like the secretary for his men's glee.
Well, oh.
You know, or in my girls' glee class, he called me out. Listen to Thornetta. She always gets it right. So that makes the other girls pissed off. Oh. Like, look, this is not me. That's what he said. You know.
Well, it's a good start to your career and doing that. So and at what point did you decide, well, blues is really where I is my niche?
Oh goodness, when I joined the Chisel Brothers and it was adamant that I do blues and soul, I was just singing the music that I liked, but I hadn't, at the time, I wasn't really into the blues.
Uh-huh.
And when you start singing the music and really getting into the lyrics of it all, you start realizing how much it relates to your life. I was a single mom, very low income, in bad relationships, you know. And so I would pick songs that I could relate to. And with a kick band, like the Chisel Brothers, it would just pull the emotions out of me. Like Damn Your Eyes by Etta James. That song would make me cry in the beginning. I would cry when I sung that song because I had recently been in a relationship with a brother who had light golden eyes. And he was just a cheater and a dog.
Oh, man.
Man. And I ended the relationship, unwillingly because I just got tired of being hurt. Yeah. But I would have stayed there if he had just treated me right, you know. And I know now that that wouldn't have happened. But he showed up at one of my shows.
How dare he, huh?
You know what I'm saying? With the girl he cheated on me with.
Oh, boy, he's got nerve.
Oh, my God. And I sang Damn Your Eyes. And next thing you know, the chick runs out of the bar upset. And she was the one driving and left him there. Oh. He comes up
Sounds like a good song.
You Why did right. you do that to me? Now, why I'm going to get home?
Should have thought about that sooner, buddy. That's funny.
Oh, that was so funny.
That is funny. Well, you know, when you go through those things, it's great. You know, you feel those emotions and you put it out into your singing and songwriting, you know, then, you know, I mean, the blues.
That's the blues.
Come on, you know.
Right,
that's what it's all about.
And that's when I started falling in love with the genre. And I feel like God chose me to sing it. And then working with different artists throughout the years, Alberta Adams, Joe Weaver, Johnny Bassett, those are my mentors in Detroit. And I felt like I'm at home, performing. I realized at the time, wow, I could sing this music forever. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are or what you look like, it's just the music, you know.
You're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. You can really feel it when you express that. You mentioned Alberta Adams. Of course, she was
the original queen.
The original queen of the blues. And that was her title.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden now you have that title.
Yeah, Alberta
queen of the
passed
blues.
Away.
Yeah.
I think 2014.
14, yeah.
And I got approached by the Blues Society not long after. And I kept putting it off. I kept, no, it's too soon, too
soon.
Yeah, yeah. And then eventually they was like, look, we want a queen and you are it. Okay, I'm not going to keep on turning that down. Okay, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm obligated to represent my city and the blues music from the city because I don't think we got the props that you would get in Chicago or New Orleans. But blues was here also.
Oh,
And even the Motown musicians were blues artists first. And he just found them in a club playing blues and say, hey, I would like for you to come play my music.
Right.
Berry Gordy, I'm talking about. But, you know, and then we had all the blues labels, Fortune Records and all the other blues artists, John Lee Hooker, who came from here first.
Yes.
And
a lot of people don't realize that.
No.
You know, that
Sippy Wallace. And so now I know I'm coming from a long, great legacy of Detroit blues artists.
Was that all down at Paradise Valley? Is that what they call it? Yeah, all those blues and amazing artists that were here.
And my other mentors like the Butler Twins, all these people who I met coming up in the blues in the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
So now I'm representing, I'm saying, look, we got blues here, good blues here.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you just come and check it out, and with the resurgence of what's going on in the city, I'm sure it's not just going to be the Motown that they remember us for, you know.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like you are on a mission.
I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers would say. Yes.
That's funny.
Throughout the years, I kept thinking, I'm going to come out with a new record. I kept saying, this is going to be on my new album.
You were saying that for like 20 years. For like 20 years.
You know, I assumed that I would have a record label or a great producer that I've always wanted to work with. And throughout the years, I kept writing. At the same time, performing the songs. Mm-hmm. And
So you thought someone would come up and say, hey, I'd like to give you a record
deal. Yeah, give you a record deal and work with me.
It doesn't work like that, I don't think.
It sure doesn't. And it stopped working like that in the middle of me writing this album.
Okay.
People started doing their own thing and recording and producing. Prince,
yes.
You know, he put his own stuff out. And then everybody said, "Who I can do it too," and put mm-hmm. it on the internet. And I hadn't gotten it yet. But until I turned 50. And I thought all of these things that I would have happened by 50 hadn't happened.
Uh-oh.
So the
clock is ticking.
The clock was ticking, and I realized that, for me, I'm very spiritual, and I realized that God had given me everything I needed. It's like this story where you're in the boat, and you're asking God to save your life. He sends all of these different ways to come by, and you go, no, I'm waiting on God. Yeah. And he go, look, I sent you this, I sent you that. What you waiting on?
Yes.
So that's where I was at 50. Okay. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I went into the studio. I started calling up all the musicians and the people who I wanted to be on it. And it happened, you know.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Well, and because you've been doing this so long around the area, I'm sure there were many musicians that said, hey, can I be on your album or can I help you singing or musician?
There were some people who wanted to be on it and I couldn't. Only because it was already recorded and I already had my vision.
Okay,
But, you know, this is done, and there's always another one. So I'll have chances to work with other people, too.
Hopefully not 20 years before you go to the next one.
No, it won't
okay.
be.
Good. Are you constantly writing songs?
I don't constantly write. I have songs ready for the next one, though.
Okay.
But then there are songs that I've actually recorded. I'm thinking about re-recording that I did before. So I got stuff.
Well, a lot of times artists find over the years they've progressed mm-hmm. and they've learned and they've mm-hmm. grown. So the stuff they recorded years ago, you know, they can make sound.
Sound even better.
Better yes. and different, yeah.
And my husband rediscovered all of my old recordings.
Uh-oh.
And he goes, this is great. You need to redo this one. And this one, I'm like, let me check that out. Yeah, that is good.
So, sometimes you need a different ear to hear it and say, yeah, you know, this is, you got some good stuff
and
here.
And I sound different than I did when
we've
I
had a little practice over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So you have another potential coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Out. When do you expect to have that one released?
I'm still in promotion mode for Honest Woman. It took me 20 years to get this. This is, and it's a journey, though. You can hear the journey in the album from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I want enough people to actually own my CD. You know, I'm looking for at least 10,000 copies
there
sold. I'm not halfway there yet.
All right. But, well, we got to get on that, people.
Yeah,
you need her CDs.
Honest Woman by Thornetta Davis. Download it. You can go to iTunes, CD Baby, all of that. And come get them at my shows and I'll sign them. So.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. And you, speaking of shows, you are mm-hmm. constantly performing and out there. It's like, I mean, you're nonstop. Like the Energizer Bunny.
Well, you know, God is good. I could say that. You know, I asked him to take me out of the bars because I got tired of singing in smoky bars.
Mm, yeah.
So he took the smoke out of the bars, which was good.
Oh, he was on there. He was kind of on that way.
Yeah. And then the local bar scene, I've only worked a couple of bars, like which I would say restaurant bars. Like my favorite is the Dirty Dog, mm-hmm. you know. And oh God, there's a couple. I don't want to leave them out, but you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instead of the mainstream, just corner bar scene that I used to do back in the day, and sometimes I'll sit up in there too. But if they give me a call, you never know.
They got the money.
Yeah, come on. But I've been blessed to be able to do major events, the opening of Hockey Town.
You do a lot of things. And also, and I remember, I should know the year of this, but I remember with the Pistons, mm-hmm. you did their commercial when it was Back to Work. Their whole thing was Back to Work. And it's like, there's Thornetta.
That was so much fun, too.
Oh, my God. You really, you did a, mm-hmm. that was great on that ad campaign.
And they just, Mike Morris just did, use one of my songs on his commercial. So that,
yeah, that was just the last few months. It seems like, or 6 months or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool that these, you know, big companies are using you in their promotions.
Oh, yeah, I got more songs, too, let you know that. They sound great in your commercial.
There you go. So, So your TV, I think there were some TV shows, too, that your music was on, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. When I did the Sopranos show, they used one of my songs off of the Sunday morning music album. It was Cry. And I also recorded an EP, Christmas EP, where I did a remake of Drummer Boy with the Big Chief band. Ooh. And they also, Sopranos also used that in one of their episodes.
So how does a musician, you know, so I mean, there's other musicians that watch these shows, you know, I mean, we're all about, you know, helping other musicians grow and learn. So, you know, if a musician's out there going, well, I would like to get my music on a TV show or an ad or something, you know, what's the route that they would
honestly, I didn't know. I didn't, when the Sopranos came out, I was just trying to get my album heard. And I was with the, I was with Sub Pop. So, like, I'm assuming that the label pushed it out to different people at the time. And the actual TV producer called me and said, hey, I produced this show called The Sopranos. I didn't even have cable, so I didn't know what Sopranos was. I thought it was a show about some singers. And so he goes, yeah, I would love to use one of your songs in my show. And I said, okay. So he worked it out with the label, and we licensed the song to them. And then I found out it was a major TV show. You know?
Who would have thunk it?
And with this song that's off of my new album, they had heard the song on... I did a music video to it. So I put that out on YouTube. And I guess they heard it because every time I turn around, I'm posting it on Facebook and letting people hear it. And the producer of the commercial came to my show and said, I got Mike Morrison. We want to use your song.
Awesome.
Just like that.
Yeah.
So I want to know, how do I get more out there myself? Anybody can tell me.
Okay.
Who should I go to as far as licensing and all that kind of stuff? Because I'm still looking...
Well, I think you kind of touched a little bit there that, first of all, because you perform so much and you're out, you're out there doing that. So you never know who is in the audience.
You never know.
You know, that would say, you know, they have connection with somebody or something.
Yeah.
You just never know. So, you know, part of it is getting out there and performing and doing what you do. And just
and never give up.
Never give
up. My thing is that my album came out last year, September. And so for a year, I've been living with the promotion thing. I'm promoting for a year, and everybody goes, well, when are you going to get famous? I'm like, look, I'm working on it.
Someone would say that?
Yeah, people still say that to me. Well, their idea of famous is getting out of Detroit. You know, I make a living singing for the last 30 years. I am so blessed. And I understand what they mean when they say famous. They want Beyonce fame. But I'd be happy with just some, who else? I don't know, Bonnie Raitt fame. She's famous too, you know. You know, but she
does a lot like what you do.
What I'm doing. The last conversation I had with her, she's like, "Girl, I'm still trying to get some gigs." You know, I'm like, "Oh, it's laying like that."
Bonnie Raitt said that?
Yeah, I'm like, really? She's Bonnie Raitt. You know, but see, because of the genre of music she's in and the popularity of the music that the kids are listening to,
right,
it's a big difference.
Well,
but I would say just keep. Use what they use. Stay on the internet. Be personal with your stuff.
Yeah.
I'm the one working my Facebook pages and my Instagram and my everything I try to get on. I know that the young people are listening to. And my audiences are mixed. I got young and older.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And because my music, I would hope that they want to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I just did a show at the Old Miami. And all of those people were young, and they were buying my CDs.
I love it.
You know?
Love it.
And so that's how you get out there. You stay focused. And one young girl came up to me that night and said, "What? Can you tell me what to do? Because I'm actually thinking about giving up." And I said, "How old are you?" You know? I said, "Girl, if I was, would I had a given up at your age, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now."
How old was she?
28. To me, that's young.
That is, yeah.
You know, she's still in her 20s. I said, look, it took me 30 years to get to this place where I'm at now. It took me 20 years to write and record Honest Woman. And she was like, for real? I said, yeah. Don't give up. Record one song at a time. But just do your thing. I said, do you write? I said, do you love it? Why would you stop doing what you love?
Yeah.
Don't stop. It's like cutting off your arm. Continue to do it, have faith in it, and get your side job to help pay your bills. But this is what you do.
Yeah.
You know? So that's my advice to everybody.
Have you followed up with her? I wonder if she's...
This was just 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. So... Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I mean, if you told that to me, mm-hmm. I would be so pumped and like, yes, yeah, this is what I this is what I'm in for.
I mean, I'm a living witness to don't give up, don't stop. At 50, I recorded my album. Okay.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. And this album here has gotten me more accolades and praise than all the stuff that I've done in the past. I got 8 Detroit Music Awards. It got me 2 national nominations for Best Blues Song and Best Emerging Artist. Mm. I'm emerging now at 50.
Oh, wow.
You know, all of these things happen. And I just got a booking agent. I'm getting ready to perform at David Rubenstein Atrium at the Lincoln Center.
Really?
Yeah, I just got that gig a couple of days ago.
Sweet.
And I just got a call from a major festival out in San Francisco. It's not finalized yet, so I won't say
okay,
anything.
Okay, we don't want
to
jinx it.
Yeah, but I'm going to be performing also in New York in January at a festival called Global Fest, where all the buyers from all over the world are going to be there to buy talent.
Oh, you know, that sounds huge.
It is very huge, and I didn't even know how huge it was.
Well, I'm glad I got you in the seat before you don't
About to start gigging, y'all.
Well, that is exciting for you. Good, good.
I'm really excited about
it. So is this because you you think because of the, you know, you got a promoter? Is that...
It was the album. Okay. I got the Globe Fest first, and the Globe Fest said, well, who represents you? I said, well, me.
You're looking at her.
It'd be great if you got a representation that to take the gigs that's going to be coming your way while you're at this festival. Uh-huh. And I still didn't get what she was talking about. Okay. So I figured, well, whatever, I'm going to, it's just me. And so...
Or I got my husband, he can
and
sit
my
there.
Husband, yeah. Me and my husband, we'll take him down. And so that was a couple of months ago. Uh-huh. So just in the last like 3-4 weeks, they emailed me, said, well, we found a agent that would be interested in working with you.
Interesting.
And so we've been back and forth communicating, and eventually I said, okay, because I did my homework, I researched and see who knew him.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm really private.
Well, you've done it so long for your, you know how you want it to work.
Yeah.
And then so someone is going to take it over. Right. You have to be really confident with that person.
And,
so.
And 2 of my dearest friends who gave him the way thumbs up. So that made me happy with that. So now we're working together. And I got the gig at the David Rubenstein before I signed on to him. But I'm sure more will come.
Oh, I would highly...
He got me the gig that I told you about out in California. Yeah. So he goes, oh, we're going to have fun together right now.
Well, this is exciting for you. Yeah. I'm excited for you. This is good. You've got some big things. This is going to jump you to another level.
I hope so. I already reached out to different artists that I want to work with, and both of them said yes. And I'm not sure if they think I'm serious or not, but when I'm ready to record, that's why I'm going straight.
Are these local people or national?
They're out. They're national.
National, okay.
Yeah. One of them actually won a Grammy for what he's done. And so when I reached out to him on Facebook, he goes, well, I'm getting off tour soon and we can hook up later.
Can you say who that is or you have to
I don't want to.
We'll all be surprised, pleasantly surprised.
When I'm in the studio with this person, because then I'll be able to believe it, you know?
Yeah. Well, they said yes, so
I mean,
kudos to you that they've...
I'll say, ask for what you want. All they can do is say yes. And two of my favorite artists that are in the genre of music that I do.
Awesome.
And young.
And young.
So, hey!
Oh, this is exciting.
You know, and I'm looking forward to it. And when I go out there on the West Coast, that's when I'm going to really connect. I'm going to say, look, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's do something while I'm here. You know.
What I love about and just because of what I know of you, that Detroit is still your roots.
Yes.
And you know, you're not going to forget about the people here.
It took care of me and my daughter and helped raise my daughter. Yeah. 30 years. This is me. I'm Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way.
And we love that.
You know.
I'm going to jump to my PAM exam.
All right. PAM exam.
PAM exam time. Just some questions. It's fun to just delve into some other things about you. Your favorite non-music pastime?
making jewelry.
I was going to bring that up. This, I noticed the last, when you were here for the grand opening, we were talking about this. She makes this jewelry and it's like, girl, you need to sell this stuff. It is so cool.
I love it. I love beading and twisting wire.
So in every, all these are yours?
Yeah. I didn't make this.
Show the camera. Her bling that she makes. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was really cool.
Thank you.
And we talked about that. I said, you need to sell this stuff. So,
you know, eventually, when I get enough time to actually do that, too, you need to make time.
Well, of course, it is kind of your signature. You know, if everyone else is wearing this, that's, you know, that would...
People keep asking me for the love.
The love. That is really
cool. The wristlet.
Yes.
No, I call it the palmlet.
Palmlet. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Your palmlet. And so, you just twist the wires and... Mm-hmm. That's is that to like a release the stressful or something?
Yeah, especially when you're thinking about what you're gonna do with it. I make lots of hearts, and I give these hearts away to people. I don't even sell them; I end up giving them away. But one day I'm gonna have a little showing, and I gotta make money. This stuff's expensive.
Well, you know, when you do your show, you have half the table with your CDs and the other half with your jewelry.
Right
there, you go.
You're right.
I mean, you know, that's the perfect time. You've got your fans
at
right there.
At least get some bracelets and some heart rings.
Yeah, for sure.
Made. Yeah,
absolutely. Got to get her on this. Of course, you got a booking guy now. He can get you during the jewelry stores. I finish a sentence. Mm-hmm.
I wish I could play guitar.
Oh.
I got nails now, though. I'd have to cut them all off to play guitar.
Well, you need long nails for finger styling, maybe.
Yeah, maybe for
one hand.
One hand. But the other one's got to be nubby. I don't know about that.
Don't want to give that up, huh?
Look at the nubby hands.
So do you play any instrument at all?
I play tambourine.
That's something.
That's it. I'm really good at it.
But guitar, well, maybe someday. I mean, there's still time.
And also conga. My husband is a percussionist, so... Every now and then I'll move him over on the drums, and I'll take one of his drums.
Part of the show, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, guitar lessons in your future.
I think so.
What was your very first job?
My very first job. Well, my very first from high school, I was in a program called the Junior Police Cadets. And we had to do the summer training, the workout and everything, the calisthenics and running around a field.
Was this kind of like an ROTC?
Yeah.
Like junior police cadets?
Right.
Okay.
And we got paid for that. But then, job outside of school, I worked in an ice cream parlor.
Oh, yeah?
And I enjoyed that so much. Because you make these creations and people would put smiles on their faces when you... reach it outside the window, you know. Because we were in one of the kinds you could walk up to the window.
Okay.
It wasn't a Dairy Queen, but it was just like a Dairy Queen. Okay. It was privately owned. And I enjoyed that job. I was 15 years old when I did that.
That sounds like a good job for a 15-year-old.
It was.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid I'd eat too much ice cream if I worked.
Oh, I had my fill.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite ice cream?
Chocolate. Just boring chocolate. Wait a minute. No, no. Ooh, the can with the caramel and praline. Ooh,
praline.
Yes,
oh,
honey.
A great story. My sister, one of my sisters lives in San Fran. Of course, Robin Williams was from San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And she says she'll never forget, he walked into the ice cream store and everyone was like, ooh, you know, Robin Williams, you know. And so everyone was just kind of watching to see what he'd order. And she said, here's this comedian. He's so talented and everything. And he ordered vanilla. She's like, what a letdown, you know. But it was fun.
Yeah. But I love vanilla.
Yeah, I love vanilla.
That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, little nuts on it, but whatever. Anyhow, what is your go-to song to sing while you're in the shower?
Oh my goodness. You know, I love some James Taylor.
Good choice.
Shower the People.
You're in the shower, comes to mind, right?
Right.
Good one.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite artist, you know, not just to sing, but to listen to? I mean, you talked about
so many people. I couldn't pick. I really couldn't. Who I've been listening to lately? Fantastic Negrito. I'm digging on his stuff. Female artists. God, I have to think about that one. I got so many people. Jill Scott.
Jill Scott, oh, yeah. If you were a spice, what would it be?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, yes. Mm.
Sweet, dark. And you can
the smell of it.
And the smell of it. Oh, yes.
It gives a warm, homey feel when you smell. Yeah,
I think I'd be cinnamon.
That's funny. If someone asked me that a long time ago, and that's what I said, cinnamon. Mm-hmm. I'm a cinnamon.
Right. You know, you still got some hotness to you, but, you know, in a sweet way.
And it goes with everything.
It goes with everything. You can sprinkle it on anything.
Food, even that chocolate ice cream. Sweet.
Yes. And I'm chocolate. Let's go with that.
And chocolate. Oh, I never thought of that one. Mm-hmm. All right. One more question here. What is your most memorable music moment?
Wow. And got a lot of them, too.
Oh, I would imagine.
I guess the big main first one was performing with Bonnie Raitt. Mm. You know, at the Ann Arbor Jazz Festival. Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival.
Okay.
I think that was 92, 93, something like that. Just being
she
on stage
She is so
with
cool.
Her.
I mean, that would be a highlight to sing with her. And you've opened with so many great people, you know, just like Ray Charles, B.B. King. Yeah.
I didn't get
James.
To sing with them, but opening up for B.B. at the Fox, that was another right there with the Bonnie Raitt, maybe a little bit before, because I always wanted to play the Fox.
Yeah.
And they had my name on the marquee.
Ooh.
Oh,
did
my
that freak you out when you saw
true.
When you see that? Do you remember
me
that moment?
So good. I felt so much city love right then and there. And the place was packed. And you think they wait? People show up after the opening act, but they showed up for the opening act.
Nice.
I had an audience full of people that night. Yeah, yeah. That was right. That's the one. That's right above the Bonnie Raitt. Let's put that one there.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be on that stage
on
in
that
such
stage.
A beautiful venue.
Yeah.
That had to be definitely.
It was definitely magical for me.
Oh yeah. See, all these things that you've been doing. I mean, there's and there's so many. I have no idea how many people fill the Fox. Probably 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know who's in that audience
Know. Yeah. I look forward to doing that again.
Okay.
I'd love to perform with Joe Bonamassa.
Oh, well, he was just in town.
I know. And I sent out my request to him, too.
He didn't
over
reply?
And over. He didn't reply.
Hey.
Okay.
All right, Joe's people, come on.
I feel eventually I'm going to bump into him. And I'm going to say, remember, I sent you some messages. I'm looking forward to singing with you.
Okay.
So.
Well, you could put it on your list of things you still want to
do.
Because you're still young and you still have, you know, a long time in this
it's
business.
Gonna
so it's going to happen. Yeah, I can hear you. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, it has been a pleasure
having you
sitting here talking with me today and sharing your some great stories, some great information. Good luck to everything with these new things coming up. Yeah, you're going up the next level real soon.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing everybody out there soon.
Yes, all you have to do is follow her on Facebook. ThornettaDavis.com is your website, and she's all over social media, so make sure you follow her, and especially if you want to know what all these things she couldn't say yet, we're going to find out when she can. We'll see it there. So
soon come.
Yes, good. Congratulations on it.
Oh, yeah, I want to mention, I'm going to be in Jamaica in March.
Okay.
I'm going to post all of that on my Facebook and Twitter and everything. But I'd love to have an audience full of Detroiters.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, on the beach in the grill. It's going to be fun. March 15th.
Sounds like fun is for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Another good thing to look forward to.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Well, thank you so much again for coming and sitting with us behind the mic here. And again, thanks to Michigan State University Community School of Detroit, as well as Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation for supporting this Music Town Detroit. Yeah. It is a great venue for local music and a lot of stuff. So we appreciate you tuning in to Behind the Mic for another version, and we'll do it again next Monday at noon. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Pam Rossi. Have a great week.